Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. If you enjoy this podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, be sure to check out our other paranormal podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of one of this week's episodes of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, from hell to high water, a conversation with Jerry Pauley. Sometimes light can come from the dark. Sometimes if we just give ourselves, our souls, some help from others who care about us, we're able to get through even the most trying of hours. Jerry Pauley is one such individual who has been to hell and has found high water. As host of the podcast Hillbilly Horror Stories, Jerry is now able to share his life experiences with others in hopes of helping them through dark times while injecting humor and stories of the supernatural. Today, we talk with Jerry about his life's journey as outlined in his new book, From Hell to High Water, on The Grave Talks.
You know, there was always an interest there because I can remember being, 10, 11 years old when the movie Halloween came out and reading the book The Exorcist when I was like 10. And the movie had already been out for 4 or 5 years by the time I actually read the book. So I've always had an interest. But my first experiences with the paranormal came when I was 13, 14 years old. We moved into a house out in the suburbs. We'd always lived downtown at that point in Louisville, Kentucky. We moved out to the suburbs. And we lived in the house for about a year with really nothing happening. And my mother lost a grandparent who she was extremely close to. This was the man who raised her. So that was a father for all intent and purposes. And she went into a heavy state of depression. And from that point on, you can maybe call it poltergeist activity or something, because that's what triggered everything. We started to have several incidents happen in the house over about a 5-year period.
Prior to this happening, what was your outlook, your interest, your even awareness of the idea of ghosts or paranormal?
Well, I don't think I really had an opinion on the paranormal per se. I like scary movies.
Sure.
But I think that's all that I thought it was. I didn't fathom that there was actually a realm out there where these things actually existed.
So it was very much, this is, it's part of Hollywood. They make for good stories, but probably not real. It wasn't something that was brought up to you up until the age of 13 as, these things are out there. They exist. We should respect them or anything like that. It just was one of those things like most households that don't dive deep into it. It was just, spooky movies and whatnot. So what were some of the things that you specifically remember? What were some of those first signs after your mother lost this father figure that were poltergeist activity that kind of made people, turn their head a little bit and go, what's that all about?
Well, the very first thing that happened, we're a year into this. And like I said, I didn't know what depression was at the time. I was, just starting my teen years.
Sure.
And things were looked at differently 35 years ago. Your expression for somebody being depressed, or your reaction, I should say, back then was typically, just cheer up, do something that makes it fun. And we know now, 30 some years later, that that's not necessarily how things work when it comes to depression and mental illness. And my mother was doing everything she could to try to, get through this rough patch that she was having. And she was on the phone with the 700 Club. I remember it like it was yesterday. And she was on the phone. They had a prayer line and it was on playing on television. She's on the phone. I'm sitting next to her. Now we're sitting next to each other. She's on a couch. I'm on a chair, but we're, within an end table from each other. Straight across the room was an old console TV. As you remember these things, they weigh about 6,000 pounds.
Yeah.
And on top of this, I'll describe this because most people don't have a clue what I'm talking about. But on top of this TV, there was a small, what I would call a chair. It was in the shape of a chair. It was actually a pin cushion. And where the seat would be, it would lift up and you could put all of your sewing tools in there, your thimbles and your sewing, your thread and all that stuff. And then the rest of it was a pin cushion. So it's not very big. It's, So it would fit in one hand, no problem. But it's sitting on top of this television. We had just done some painting to the outside of the house, so we had taken off our house numbers. So there was three house numbers that were made of metal sitting on top of it and a bottle of Elmer's glue. So it's pretty weighted down for what it was. And we're sitting there as she's on the phone talking to someone and I'm doing some drawing in a sketch pad. This thing pops up about 2 feet in the air and lands in the middle of the floor, which was about 4 feet away from the television. It didn't fall over, Tony. Mm-hmm. That would have made sense. Yeah. You know, maybe some vibrations. It popped up in the air and landed in the middle of the floor. And that was the first experience that we ever had. And my mother and I just looked at each other instantly like, you know, did you just see that? And we both agreed just through our looks. Yes, we both saw that. And she immediately told the people on the phone that she needed to go. And we didn't do a lot of discussing. I mean, we got up and picked the stuff up, but it was a very eerie silence of us both knowing we just experienced something unique.
What was going through your mind at the time?
You know, confusion, yeah. I think more than anything else, because I was very studious back at that point, and I just a big, you know, it has to be something, some kind of explanation of, you know, but I kept going replaying it in my head. This thing popped up in the air. Nothing would have made it pop up in the air, you know, so I couldn't find that.
Yeah. But you were still searching for it as anyone would when they're having an experience like that for the first time. That obviously wasn't the only thing that would have occurred to continue this forward. How did things progress from there that continued to really baffle you and your family, wondering what's going on here?
It progressed pretty rapidly, to be honest with you. I went to bed at around 11 o'clock that night. I want to say that happened around 8 p.m. And I went to bed around 11 o'clock, and shortly after I went to bed, my mom came into the room and said, "Hey, I'm hearing some noises upstairs in the attic. Can you come sit up with me?" And you got to know, Tony, my mother is not somebody who's easily scared. She grew up with families that were partially Native American on one side of her family. They believed in a lot of stuff and shamans and that type of thing. And she grew up around that sort of stuff. And she had always said that she had seen a ghost when she was 7 years old during an appendicitis attack, where she got rushed to the hospital and things like that. So this was something that was in her wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. She just didn't talk about it much. So she wasn't scared easily, but this scared her, whatever it was. And I went in the living room with her and I sat down for probably 15 minutes and I didn't hear anything. She didn't hear anything at that point. So at that point, you know, we don't know what else to do. I went back to bed, but the following night, she came in and woke me up again, and I probably wouldn't in there 30, 45 seconds, and we could start to hear things up in the attic. Now, our attic up there, Tony, was not an attic where we stored things. There was a couple of boxes up there, but for the most part, there was no flooring. It was just the rafters and some insulation. Mm-hmm. The noises we were hearing weren't little noises. It sounded as if you took a full-size bedroom dresser and scooted it across a wooden floor. You know that sound that wood makes when it's on wood scooting?
Sure.
That's what it sounded like. And it went on for 10 or 15 minutes back and forth. My father checked it out the next day. Like I said, there was nothing up there that could have caused that noise. And there wasn't any sign of rodents or raccoons, anything like that, which was the obvious thing to check out. So within 2 nights, we had, you know, she had 3 occurrences. I had 2. Just in a 2-night period. It didn't keep at that level. It would eventually taper off, but eventually it would turn into, we heard a baby cry in the hallway of the house at one point in time. We've had objects that would move around. Like one instance, I was in my bedroom. I went through a door. The house is almost made into a circle. So every door leads into a different room. So, you know, it's one way in and the other way just goes to a different room. And I left and the door was open to my sister's room. So I get up, there was a couple of toys laying right there next to a toy box, but they were in the doorway in my walking path. I pick them up, put them back in the toy box. I'm the only one in the house. Everybody else is out at our pool. I go out to the pool. I spend probably 4 or 5 minutes just, you know, catching up, seeing what's going on. I go back in the house and those exact same toys are right back in the floor again. So those were the kind of things that were regular happenses. Didn't really scare me, but you got used to it. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, matter of fact, one of the chapters in the book is learning to live with ghosts, because that's what we did over the period. We got to where we just found ways to exist.
What was the point in which, and it may be different for everybody, I don't know, you could answer that, but where it made you personally, Jerry, say, okay, I think the house is haunted, and you just kind of had run out of explanations. I know you kind of learned to live with it, but what was the point? Was there a specific event? I mean, the baby crying or something of that nature, where you just had to say, it's haunted. I don't have an explanation, but I at least know we're going down that path.
I think where it happened for me, Tony, is in my bedroom, which was in the very back of the house, I could lay in bed and I could hear whispering coming from the ductwork. Now, this is probably within 2 months of the first events happening. And as I laid in bed with no noise at all in the room, I could hear voices coming from the ductwork. It sounded plain as could be that it was two men and a woman, but I could, it was more of a whisper. I could tell the voices, but I couldn't understand anything that was ever being said. And at that point, I worked some odd jobs, did some babysitting, that stuff like that, and went to Kmart and I bought me a little small stereo that I could sit right next to my bed. And literally, if I rode over, I would have rode into the stereo, because I wanted it to be close enough to where I could always turn it on and drown out those noises. So it didn't take long, probably a couple months, before I realized something was up.
How was your mother coping with these things as they continued to torment her as well? What were some of the tactics that she was using to keep peace?
You know, we didn't talk a whole lot, as odd as it sounds. We were really close back then. But we didn't talk a whole lot about what was going on in the house. We both knew there were things going on in the house, but it wasn't something where we had a conversation like you and I are having right now.
Yeah.
As to what's causing it. Her depression got worse and worse. She eventually got to the point where she was having some severe medical problems that I feel like were brought on more mentally than physically, because, mm-hmm. you know, you can do a lot of things to your body if your mind tells it to do something.
Sure.
She got to the point where she developed something called esophagitis, to where the acid was coming up in her throat to the point where it was so raw, she couldn't eat solid foods. She had to go on a baby food diet and soft foods like mashed potatoes. So this changed her whole outlook. She used to be very outgoing and we'd just get up and go on trips spur of the moment. And she loved to drive and be out in the car and all that went away. She went to where she never wanted to go anywhere. And she developed these major medical problems. So I don't think she was coping with it very, very well at all. I think it just sent her into deeper depression.
Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe or visit thegravetalks.com.